Hi, I'm Andy Herman of the Pack of Eight podcast. I'm here to tell you about Tick Pick. Tick Pick should be your very first choice to buy football tickets because they save fans money by never charging any service fees ever. Tick Pick is the exclusive ticketing partner for the Pack of Eight podcast and the Blue Wire Network.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack a Day podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack a Day podcast, your one-stop shop for all things green and gold. And well, we made it. It's week one. Packers and Saints will be playing their first game of the regular season just a few hours after you listen to this podcast, and we're going to preview all of it for you, get you guys ready for that first game down in balmy Jacksonville for the Packers and Saints. My name is Mike Wellen. I'm joined as always by Gage Bridgeford, and new to our little trio this season is Mark Eckel. And Mark, welcome to the Sunday crew. We're glad to have you and your wealth of experience to help us preview Packers games all season long.
Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure to join you. Thanks for picking me up on waivers from the Saturday crew that cut me. I'm kidding. Mike and I traded spots, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just luckily we have so many great podcasters to move around.
Matthew and I traded spots, right?
Yes, it was you and Matt. Matt's moving over. Right. Either way, it's great that we have so many great colleagues around us that we can still have so many moving parts and still get you guys great Packer content every single day throughout the year. And as we get set for the Packers and Saints week one matchup, there's a lot of different factors in this one. The first one to kind of just touch on a little bit will be the injury report. There's not a ton for the Packers. The two big ones will be Za'Darius Smith, obviously the very big one, but Tyler Lancaster, whether he even suits up, even if he's healthy or not, because Vernon Scott's ruled out. Za'Darius Smith is listed as questionable. For the Saints, they have lost starting corner Ken Crawley and receiver Traquan Smith. James Hurst is questionable. So the Saints secondary is really going to be tested a lot with this injury report. So Gage, what are your thoughts on the health of these two teams and how that's going to affect this afternoon?
I think honestly, these two teams, yeah, they're dealing with injuries, like the Saints especially, but they're two of the healthier teams so far this preseason. Obviously, we have Baltimore, who has lost three starting running backs in 2 weeks. Just, I feel like there's a lot of teams that are dealing with injuries around the league, and Green Bay, outside of Za'Darius, who's dealing with a nagging injury, haven't really lost anybody for the season so far, and that's a really good thing. There's not really any IR injuries, any torn ACLs. The only reason David Bakhtiari's not playing is because they want to make sure that he's healthy for the games that really matter in a few months. So I think Green Bay being relatively healthy at this stage is great because, I mean, it's a long season and you got to nurse your guys for the games that matter in January and February, which we know is coming at the end of the year here. So I think the Bradley Roby thing, to see how quick he gets up to speed, because if I remember right, this is the second year in a row Green Bay is playing a team that traded for a guy like the day or two before the game, and it'll be interesting to see how much work he gets. So Bradley Roby is their CB2 there next to Marshawn. So I don't know how much work he's really going to get over there because he's not going to be up to full game speed yet. They're not just going to throw him out there for 100% of the snaps, I doubt, unless they're just going to say, hey, run man coverage for 60 minutes.
I don't think he can play, can he?
I don't think they've announced the trade yet.
Well, no, when a guy gets traded now because of the protocols, I think he has to sit a week. I'm pretty sure, right? I could be wrong. But
I'm checking. But I thought the thing
sure
with
can't
it.
Play.
Oh, well, I mean, if he can't play, then yeah. I think that whoever they're trotting out at corner is going to get just straight toasted because Marshawn Lattimore is not as good as Davante Adams. He has his best games against Mike Evans and for whatever reason, no one else. He's super inconsistent otherwise. So I think that Green Bay has a huge advantage there. And if the offensive line can hold up, Green Bay is going to just throw the ball all over the yard. Aaron Rodgers might have a career day against a team on the road.
Yeah, looking at their depth chart on their own website, Roby is not listed anywhere. They have six safeties. Ken Crawley is their starting left corner. He's out. His backup is Desmond Trufant, who they just brought in. And their other backup corner is Paulson Edebo, who opted out last year when he would have been a rookie. So he has not played an NFL game yet. They may have to put C.J. Gardner-Johnson in that corner.
Well, okay. Well, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson can play slot corner, and that's probably what he'll do. I just checked it out. Bradley Roby can't play, but it has nothing to do with COVID stuff.
Oh.
this is the final game of a six-game suspension.
That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, I just did a quick check. So he
– I knew
he
wasn't playing for some reason.
Okay. Yeah, this is the final game of his six-game suspension from last year, it looks like. So he's got kind of the Will Fuller deal of, hey, you're out for six games, and we gave you five of them last year. So, yeah, Bradley Roby out. So it's going to be, Paulson Adebo, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and Marshawn Lattimore. And yeah, Dez Trufant. So I don't know about you guys. I really like that matchup for Green Bay.
Well, the key is going to be given if Rodgers has time, the game's over, right? I mean, the Packers' offensive line, which I'm a little concerned. I mean, I know these guys have looked good, the rookies, but you're starting, when it's for real, it gets a little different. I know Newman and Myers both played very well when they played in preseason, and they looked good in practice and all that kind of stuff, but it's for real now. And it's going to be I'm just a little nervous about two rookies starting next to each other on the offensive line.
There's a couple of main reasons why I'm not quite as nervous as you. Yeah. I understand it, but two main reasons why. One, Sheldon Rankins is with the Jets, and two, David Onyemata is suspended.
Right. The Saints.
So now the Saints are starting Christian Ringo and Malcolm Roach at. Yeah, on the inside. Obviously, you still got Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport on the outside, and I'm sure they'll run some stunts and games and stuff and try and get them matchups with those younger guys and those rookies inside. But they're primarily rushing off the edge, and I have a lot more faith in Elton and Billy Turner to be able to handle those guys while the rookies try and deal with these guys who, nothing against Ringo and Roach, they're not Onyemata and Rankins. So that's the only reason I'm not as concerned as you are in terms of the pass rush, but that's not to take away anything. I still think that they can get some pressure on Rodgers, but it's just I'm not quite as worried about it.
And that's where one factor comes in for the Packers that'll help them out as well. With the secondary banged up, they may not have to run all their receivers out. So you can leave in Mercedes Lewis to chip on Cam Jordan instead of and trust your rookies to handle Packer legend Christian Ringo.
And Montrevious Adams, another Packer legend out there.
There's rumors that he may have gotten cut before, but yeah.
He's number 52, which is an interesting number for a defensive tackle.
It isn't true. Although now anybody can be anything now, right?
Yeah, but 52 is still weird for a defensive tackle. Like a defensive tackle that's like 8, 9, 7, I kind of like that. 52 just looks weird on a D-tackle. That's a number I want to see on like an offensive lineman or like an edge or a linebacker. It looks weird on a defensive tackle.
That would have been a great number for a Vince Wilfork type guy, just a massive human wearing 52.
It'd be so goofy. But yeah, like I think Green Bay's got the injury advantage in this one, and I think they have the big matchup advantage at wide receiver / like Saints corners, because there's Marshawn on Devontae. I like that in Green Bay's favor. And there's no one on this Saints secondary that I think can run stride for stride with MBS, who I think MBS is going to have a big day. I think MBS is going to have a big year. I'm drinking all the Kool-Aid that Green Bay has been putting out. I don't know if they're just trying to like get somebody to trade for him or what, but I am all in on the MBS train of him having a humongous year.
Yeah, let's talk about the receiver matchups on both teams for a second. You talk about MBS. I think another good big game could be for Lazard. He was big against them last year. He absolutely carved up the Saints. And the Saints are without Tre'Quan Smith. And so that's their number one. So they're starting Marquez Callaway and Ty Montgomery.
Wow. How many ex-Packers are on the Saints?
Way too many. I see at least four on their depth chart.
And they got Holman on the practice squad, right? Didn't they sign Kadar Holman to the practice squad last week?
Yes, they have Kadar Holman on the practice squad. You got Ringo, Adams, Taysom Hill, Ty Montgomery.
All right, good.
And you got what's his name? Ryan Ramczyk who went to Wisconsin.
From Stevens Point.
And everybody's still mad is not a Packer, which, I mean, fair. Fair, honestly.
And to be fair, I wouldn't mind because he was a great interview. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah. I mean, offensive linemen generally are like that. Like I've never seen a big offensive lineman that's good that's been a bad interview. They're always generally just fun guys to interview. I'm sure there are some. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there are some. But guys like Thomas, who is the guy for the Browns forever? I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas, Ryan Ramczyk, Quentin Nelson for the Colts.
David Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari, obviously. There's just all these guys all interview really well, and they're just all fun dudes to interview and be around. So, and plus, Ryan Ramczyk was also picked right before Kevin King went off the board, so that doesn't help either.
But yeah, I mean, I'll 100% agree with you on that. I covered Philadelphia, the Eagles, for 30 some years, and yeah, the overall, Like, there's one or two that aren't very good, obviously. But for the most part, I spoke to offensive linemen. I interviewed offensive linemen way more than I did skill players because they were just better. They just gave better quotes, and they talked about the other players. I mean, they gave me better quotes about Donovan McNabb than McNabb would himself. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, offensive linemen in general. Yeah, they're I never understood why they were, but they are. And they were, they are, they probably always will be. Maybe because they just think about the game more.
Yeah, they're extremely smart guys, especially centers. Like Jeff Saturday was always a great one here in Indy, where I live at. Their centers are super smart. They have to know everything that the quarterback knows to just a slightly lesser extent. They have to know everything that's going on the field as the quarterback does, but just slightly less. So they're just as smart. They just don't get talked about as much because they don't put up catches, receptions, touchdowns. They get, hey, you had a good block today. That's what
you know. And that's probably part of why the interviews are so good.
Yeah, that's probably part of it, is because they don't get talked to as often. So they look forward, like, whereas a quarterback is kind of like, I got to do another interview, or the star running back, I got to do another. The guard and the center, they're kind of happy when you come up to them and want to ask them something.
And that goes back to Jerry Kramer.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
All right, let's not get too off track here. Yeah. For sure. Right. For those of you that are betting folks out there, I got the lineup here. It's Green Bay is currently favored -3.5. Total set at 49.5. That's pretty much where it stayed since it opened. I think Green Bay opened as -3, so it's only, and it got up to -4 at one point, but right now it's hovering right around -3.5. 49.5, I'm pretty sure that's been pretty close to where it stayed the whole time. It hasn't moved a ton. I don't know about you guys. That's easy Green Bay and the over for me. Like, yeah, absolutely. I think that James is able to sling the ball a little bit to get some points on the board, and I think that Green Bay is also going to be able to move the ball nearly at will against this Saints secondary. And so if I got Green Bay -3.5 and the over, that's all day. How high would you go on taking Green Bay to cover?
I think they cover 8.
You think 8?
I think they win by 2 scores.
That's big boy points right there.
Packers football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Packer tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site, and the only one you'll ever need is your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% the difference in the purchase price. Personally, I can't wait for that first game back at Lambeau Field, Packers Lions with fans in the stands again. I've already got my tickets from TickPick, and I'll be there watching Monday Night Football in person. I absolutely cannot wait. Visit tickpick.com/packaday today and use promo code Packaday to save $10 on your first order of Packers tickets.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if I'd go that. I mean, they could. I mean, I've seen a lot of predictions where people are picking the Packers to blow them out. The first week of the season, it's so you don't know, because preseason has become so unimportant to teams that this is still like a preseason game because they haven't played together. Aaron Rodgers didn't take a snap again in preseason, as did most. They sat like 30 something players in all 3 preseason games. And I don't think the Saints played. Well, the Saints did play their quarterbacks because they had a quarterback competition going on. But I mean, it's become so where that I think the first couple games of the season now are going to be tough to predict because you just don't know what teams, even the better teams, like Tampa Bay did not play well the other night. They come away with a win, but in Dallas, I thought outplayed them for the most part. I mean, so I don't know. I think this game's going to be closer than a lot of people think. I think the Packers covered a 3.5, but I wouldn't go too much more.
I think it'll be close for most of it. I think Jameis will turn into Jameis at one point in the fourth quarter, and Green Bay will get a score late to kind of ice it.
Score maybe, yeah. Maybe even a pick six.
I'm calling a Kevin King interception. Maybe not a pick six, but I'm calling a King interception.
That would be nice for his confidence, if nothing else.
Because Jameis, if they're behind by 3 or 7 in the fourth quarter, Jameis is going to have to sling it. And he's got the arm, but he tends to overthrow. And
he does get a little overzealous at times. We'll put it that way.
If you're the Saints, don't you have to, because of everything we just talked about with their defensive backfield being a mess right now, their offense, don't they have to play more ball control and just try to run the ball, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field? That's going to be their game plan? Try to just like run Alvin Kamara at you all day and see what happens?
You'd think, but he's also a guy who's better in space. He's one of the 3 best running backs in the game, don't get me wrong. But this is where I was surprised when they cut Murray. because he would have been vital.
Well, but that was a money thing. That's all that came down to. Like they asked him to take a pay cut, and he told them no. And so they're like, well, fine, then we'll find somebody else.
Why didn't they do that earlier? Why wait before week one?
Did it have to do with the Bradley Roby thing? Because then they do the Bradley Roby trade right after that. So maybe it came down to they wanted to, but they couldn't. By the way, speaking of Alvin Kamara and working in space, I was just curious because I remember Alvin Kamara had a particularly good game against Green Bay last year.
I know because
I had him in fantasy in a few different places. 13 catches, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He had six carries for 58 yards. He literally, as you said, Mike, they are still trying to tackle him. That was a game that they played without Michael Thomas. And nobody else on the Saints had more than 56 receiving yards.
Granted, they're also on the fast track of the Superdome.
Yeah, and this is in Jacksonville.
It'll be a lot hotter, a lot thicker.
Yeah, this is going to be a muggy. It's going to be a muggy day.
It's going to be a game where running backs might not get 20 carries just because of the heat.
That's okay. That's okay. That's why it's good that Green Bay has Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, and then Kylan Hill, who has looked. I know, Mark, it's just preseason, but
Kylan Hill's looked great. He's looked.
If that's your third guy,
yeah,
it's a pretty good third guy.
Yeah, I don't think
all three bring something different.
I'm not. It's kind of like we were talking before we came on. We were doing a little history. This is very similar. Maybe even I don't want to say better, but as good as when the Packers had the three-headed running backs of Amon Green, Najee Davenport, Tony Fisher back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, you got your all-around back, you got your power back, you got your third down guy.
Yeah.
And they're different in their own way. Like AJ Dillon as your power guy, AJ Dillon is also fast. Like,
yeah, he's better than Davenport. Like Davenport wasn't slow. Davenport wasn't slow now. I mean, he wasn't a great kickoff return guy like you mentioned, but once he got them legs moving, he could move on.
But Dillon, I think the difference is Dillon gets up to speed a lot quicker, yeah. Though.
Oh, that's, no, Dillon's better than Davenport. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I was curious real quick. Oh, man, I was going to see if I could find Najee Davenport's 40 time because I don't think that guy's very fast.
No, he was a fullback in college.
Right. Okay, exactly.
But when he got it going, he was, I'm just saying, he wasn't, he ran faster than he timed.
Gotcha, absolutely. Okay. Field speed more than track speed. Fair enough. But
He bulked up Miami because he had to block for Edgerrin James and Clinton Portis. And
Frank Gore. This Green Bay team, how does Green Bay, like, do they just abandon the run? Because the strength of this Saints team on defense is up front. Do they just kind of do what the Bucs and Cowboys did the other night and just sling the pill all around the yard, because they have a big advantage there? Like, they might be able to run the ball a little more effectively than like Dallas did against that really good Tampa front, but why would you run the ball when you can just throw it all over?
I'd run it at him. I mean, you look at, yes, Davenport and Jordan are good defensive ends, and Jordan's a great run defender, but outside DeMario Davis, I still have some questions on their linebacking core. Quan Alexander, how healthy is he? What's he going to do? Caden Ellis, I don't know enough about. I think they can be run on, and in a warm game like this where time possession could really factor into fatigue and how this game could play out, I think using Jones and Dillon a lot could help, especially, and like Mark said earlier, without getting all those preseason snaps, quarterback and receiver, tight ends on the same page, line on the same page with the passing game. If you tell Royce Newman and Josh Myers, just go bulldoze Christian Ringo and you'll have a hole in the middle of the field. I take it.
Yeah, I say throw to score and then run to win. You know, get the lead by throwing the ball. And then if you're up, whatever, you know, 14-3 with 10, you know, whatever it is, then you want to pound away at them and put the game away.
See, that's where I kind of fall into the new school mantra of, like, don't take your foot off the gas. I've seen this Packers team too many times, and, like, I'm younger, obviously. I haven't watched nearly as much football as either one of you guys, but I've seen this Green Bay team take their foot off the gas and either get beat or get really close to getting beat because they started running the ball late in the game. Whereas when Rodgers is hot, let the man cook. Like, there's the whole let Russ cook narrative in Seattle, but let Rodgers cook when he's on, and when he's on with his guys, there's no one stopping him. There's because he can find MBS down the field for a deep ball. He can find Devontae against any corner in the league. Doesn't matter if it's Jalen Ramsey, Marlon Humphrey, Jair Alexander, whoever. Devontae is getting open. Lazard has the ability to do all of the dirty work stuff. All of that other stuff that no one else can do, that's what Lazard can do. Randall Cobb, I don't think there's going to be any like chemistry issues there. I think that Cobb and Rodgers are going to see the field the same way every single play, and they're you're never going to have that random, okay, what did you see on that play that I didn't see? Why did you run the wrong route? It's always going to be Cobb sees – or Rodgers sees the slant, Cobb sees the slant. I think that – that's why I was saying that I think Green Bay can cover easily and can put up a lot of points. And I think that's one of those – since Rodgers and the pass catchers didn't get a lot of touches in the preseason, let these guys get some work now. Like, let them get work and get rolling now early in the year rather than later in the year.
No, I'm I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying get the lead and then just run three dives into the middle of the field. I mean, middle of the line. But we said earlier, you know, Jones, Dillon, Hill, or at least Jones and Dillon, we'll see how much Hill plays, are pretty good running backs. I don't want to let's not let them just be out there as decoys. I mean, Aaron Jones can do some damage and when he has the ball in his hands. AJ Dillon, I'm anxious to see the kind of damage he can do, especially on a hot, muggy day. Who wants to tackle that guy?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I'm not saying to, like, just abandon the run completely as we saw on Thursday. I'm just more, if I see Green Bay go 60-40 pass, maybe 65-35 pass to run ratio, I'd be okay with that. Green Bay opening the offense up and making these corners who are already going to have a bad day, make them have a worse day. Because then, when it's the fourth quarter, they're down by 14, and A.J. Dillon comes at you off the edge, they're going to make business decisions on the edge. And he's going to have a lot of green grass in front of him.
And here's one guy to keep an eye on maybe in the fourth quarter. Keep an eye on the tight ends, like those third and shorts, third and fives, late in the game when they're trying to salt the clock away. Tonyan and DeGuara, I think, could both have some big plays in that fourth quarter. I mean, find a girl who loves you as much as Matt LaFleur loves Josiah DeGuara. Like, he could have some big snaps in that fourth quarter if the Packers have a lead to try and salt things away.
There's a lot. I mean, this Packer team, I wouldn't want to be a defensive coordinator trying to prepare for him, because they can. I mean, they have the MVP, a quarterback. They have. We just talked about the running backs. We mentioned wide receivers. Now you brought up the tight ends. I mean, that's a lot of people to have to try to defend and worry about. And you know, I know there's only one ball. That, you know, they can. Everybody's not going to get it tomorrow or later today. But, you know, during the course of the year, I mean, the Packer players who star against the Saints might do nothing against the Lions next week, and three more guys might be. It's that kind of offense where you don't know week to week who's going to hurt you. Like, every coordinator will plan to do something. All right, we're not going to let Aaron Jones beat us today. Okay, fine. So Jones isn't going to have a big game. But then Adams is going to kill you, MVS might kill you, the tight ends might kill you. Or you might have a defense that says, all right, I'm going to take away the tight end. Okay, so Tonyan and DeGuara won't do much, but then Jones is going to run on you. Or this is a very good offense. I mean, it's a very good team. I think I've been saying all along, this is the best team in the NFL. Does that mean they're going to win the Super Bowl? I don't know, because things happen along the way. They were the best team in the NFL last year, and a couple of plays in the span of a minute, you know, kept them out of the Super Bowl. But, you know, this team is loaded with talent.
For sure. I guess one question before we make our final predictions for you guys. When the preseason was going, who were you looking to win that Saints QB battle? Just looking toward this matchup, because Hill can move around. Winston is a pocket guy. The Saints have a good line, but they can be beaten. Who were you leaning toward winning that quarterback battle that would help the Packers the most defensively?
Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Simply put, Jameis Winston is a quarterback.
Right.
Taysom Hill is a guy playing quarterback. It doesn't make him one. I said to a buddy of mine this morning, Taysom Hill is the player that Tim Tebow truthers wanted Tim Tebow to be. He's a better athlete. He's got a better arm. He's better. He is what everybody that liked Tim Tebow wanted him to be, and he wasn't. Taysom Hill is a fun player. He's a fun story, but he's not a quarterback. So I wanted Taysom Hill to win it because I think he makes the Saints way more one-dimensional versus Jameis. I think they can run a full offense, and I think Sean Payton's going to have a lot of fun. I think we're going to see, when the Saints are actually healthy, I think you're going to see like late or early 2010 Saints style offense. I think they're going to air it out a lot. It's going to be like Slant Boy is going to be doing a little bit more in slants. Marquez Callaway, I think, can have a big year. So, yeah, I think that this Saints team. So if I'm answering your question, Mike, it was Taysom Hill, because James Winston's a quarterback and Taysom Hill's not.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I know draft status over years, sometimes, you know, there's mistakes are made and there are surprises, but there's a reason Winston was the number one overall pick in the draft and Hill wasn't drafted at all. I mean, there's some pedigree there. Taysom Hill, he's not a quarterback. He's a gadget guy that can help your team. But if he's your starting quarterback, I don't think you're going to the playoffs.
And on a, And I'm with you both, 100%. Because I remember last season, what was the biggest play of the game? A Taysom Hill fumble with Drew Brees off the field.
Great point.
I realize how dumb that decision was. Like, can we just talk about that for a second? That is the classic case of doing too much. Like, just you overthought it. You shot yourself in the foot because you tried to get cute with it. And that's all that was. That was Sean Payton saying, look how smart I am and look what I can do. And then as soon as it happened, he's like, oh, that was not a good idea. And then what does he do the remainder of the year? He continued to put Taysom Hill on the field for some unknown reason.
I mean, that sounds exactly like the game I broadcasted on Friday night for a local high school. Their opponent tried to fake punt inside their own 20 and 4th and 15, because they would keep their offense out there because their quarterback was their punter, and he would have to do a read during the play whether he was going to punt it or go for it, and he got sacked. And so they ended up losing by 7.
Again, as a high school coach, thinking he's too smart, too.
Yeah, and so no coach is immune, but yeah, I agree with you. Like, that's when you had Drew Brees, there's no reason to ever take the ball out of his hands. It was just boneheaded, and I don't think Peyton's going to do that with Winston this year. But I just want to curious.
The one game I remember last year that Hill started and played the entire game, and it turned out to be a very good game for the Packers, was Hill played against an awful Eagles team last year and lost. The Saints lost to the Eagles with Hill starting at quarterback, and that gave the Packers the edge on them. That wrapped up home field that still had to win, but that gave the Packers not only the tiebreaker, but I think it put them a game ahead of the Saints on the way to securing the number one seed.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, that's why I was saying Taysom Hill, like, against Atlanta, who had no run defense, Taysom Hill as your starting quarterback, that was great, because you had to worry about Taysom Hill running just as much as you had to worry about Alvin Kamara running. But against a team like Philly that has a good run defense, and that's all they had last year because Philly couldn't stop the pass, that was one of those situations where it's like you're a high school baseball coach and you are looking at the team you're going against and, okay, this team's really bad against righties, so I'm going to throw my righty ace. Okay, this team's really bad against lefties, so I'm going to throw my lefty ace. It would have made more sense for New Orleans to start Jameis against Philly and Taysom against Atlanta, just because it's like, well, play your matchups. Like, you got – I know who my matchup is here, and I know who's a good matchup and who's not. But Sean Payton, stubborn as ever, is like, nope, Taysom Hill can be good. No, he cannot. It's okay. It's okay, Sean. It's not the end of the world.
It was like when they played Denver last year, and you have a tight end starting a quarterback for the Saints, a receiver starting a quarterback for the Broncos.
That, no. We don't even need to – let's just get into predictions. We don't need to talk about that nonsense. Mark, let's go to you first.
I got the Packers winning, but probably closer than the two of you. I think it's going to be like a 28-23, so they'll cover, but you're going to be sweating, and it'll also go over, but you're going to be sweating that a little bit too. It's not going to be like where you can cash in the third quarter and go out and spend your money. But I do agree with the Packers over, but by a little bit.
I'm going to go 34-20. I think it'll be a 7-point game, and the Packers will get a score late after a turnover to ice it in the fourth.
And see, give you the over.
And they'll hit the over.
That's all that matters. We all love overs. So I'm similar to you, Mike, but I'm kind of going the inverse. Instead of Green Bay getting the late score, I think it's the Saints get the late score. I got Green Bay 31, New Orleans 24, covers my spread, gets me the over. That's all that matters. And I think that New Orleans gets a late score because Green Bay always gives up one. I'm sure if I go back and look at, like, the Packers box scores from last year, they gave up a touchdown in the fourth quarter, like 70 plus percent of the time, just because they always give up some fluky late touchdown, and it's always going to happen. So I think it's 31-24. I think Green Bay has got a solid lead, 31-17, and then the Saints score with like less than 2 minutes left, go for the onside, fail. Green Bay kneels down 3 times, ball game.
Now who's going to kneel down? Is Jordan Love going to take that Tim Boyle spot?
No, we're going to have Kylan Hill do it, so that way there's no negative fantasy points for anybody important.
I was going to say Bohorquez will get out there.
I don't know why it's always a quarterback. I think you should have somebody should have a designated kneel down guy. But
Randall Cobb.
I know Tim Boyle obviously was the designated kneel down guy, but so I think
would,
if they get into victory
sneak forward.
If they get into victory formation, it'd probably be Jordan Love, if we're being honest here.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. So there you go. We all think it'll be a 1-0 weekend for the Green Bay Packers. We'll wrap things up. Mark, where can people find you, and what are you working on these days?
Well, I'm with Packer Report. I'll have a story up not long after the game's over, my instant reactions, or whatever they call it, rapid reactions, instant analysis. So that'll be up on Packer Report right after the game. And then I'll do a story Thursday where I kind of look back at something that relates to this week's. Matter of fact, I have a story up now looking back at the most memorable Packers season openers. And you can find me on Twitter at MarkEckel08.
For sure. And Gage, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter, as always, at GBridgefordNFL. I'm doing work with RotoBaller, Dynasty Nerds, and Denver Stiffs, which that is kind of taking a backseat until the season gets started there for the Denver Nuggets. But otherwise, RotoBaller, I have stuff coming out every Thursday. I'm working more on the news desk this year, covering Rams and Seahawks stuff, so not super important Packer-wise. Dynasty Nerds, I'm doing my weekly running back start sit column, as well as my rankings over there. All of my stuff you can find on Twitter every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, all season long, all 17 weeks. I'm going to be doing the same thing I've done for, I think this is my fourth year now. I answer every single fantasy question sent my way, whether it's replying to a tweet, a DM, or wherever it's at. I reply to every single one of them. Tomorrow will be a little hectic. I will try to answer as many as I can. Just work in real life is going to get in the way a little bit there. But after that, I'll be here every single Sunday to answer. It doesn't matter if you're my opponent. Doesn't matter if you're playing in a league that I've never heard of before. Give me 5 minutes to figure out your scoring, and I will do my best to help you out.
For sure. And you can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendlandt, all one word. Again, I'm focusing more on my broadcasting career this fall. So you can hear me at Zaleski Sports throughout Wisconsin, ZaleskiSports.com, doing mostly high school sports, so football, volleyball, soccer. I'm covering the Amherst Falcons in central Wisconsin, one of the dynasties in football going on right now in Wisconsin. So you can find my work there as well. And of course, follow us wherever you can find your podcast platform, at the Packaday Podcast, at Packaday Podcast on Twitter. Follow Andy on the YouTube channel as well. That, again, Packaday Podcast. And enjoy the game. Thank you for joining us today for our preview for the Packers and Saints. For Mark Eckel and for Gage Bridgeford, this is Mike Wendland saying so long, enjoy the game. Remember, stay safe, always carry the G. And it's week one, so go Pack, go.